Let's go to page 40. And I'm taking over the Tuesday morning slots. Okay, page 40. Jesus' definition of family. Then he went home, and the crowd came together again, and so they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first trying or first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Mark 3:20-35. The Wu family, founders of Wing Lung Bank, donated $20 million in 2010 to a local university to set up a research center for cancer. What was so unusual was that the center was named after family's two former maids who had served the family faithfully for over 50 years. The Wus have treated their maids like family and have lived out Jesus' radical notion of loving those who are not related by blood. Jesus has transcended the narrow definition of family based on biological kinship. Jesus has challenged us today to obey God's commandment of loving our neighbors, regardless of class, race, and gender, and including those often rejected by the community, such as foreign domestic workers, prisoners, sex workers, homosexuals, HIV-positive, and AIDS patients in our midst. Jesus regards people who do the will of God as his brothers and sisters and mother. Amen. It's quite a nice devotional. I hope you've been enjoying the devotionals in the book. I know I have. Particularly a couple of the ones on Sunday have been quite good. In Mark chapter 3, there's a couple of different points here, and particularly this writer decided just to focus on one of the points, so maybe I thought I would focus on the other points. You know, one was dealing with an issue of spiritual warfare, but more importantly, it's actually the issue of unity. You know, and so, you know, these guys were saying something about Jesus, you know, that was not really that true. You know, and it culminates in probably a very misunderstood passage. You know, it says here, "Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said he has an unclean spirit." Okay, so let's look at this for a moment. There are a couple of different ways to look at it. Okay, one way is we take it directly in context. And so it seems like if you, and this is more of a very willful decision on your own part, if you willfully call light darkness, you know, the text seems to say that it's unforgivable, right? This is what's meant to be blaspheming the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is actually the one that's in charge of bringing conviction, right? So in charge of enlightening, you know, the scriptures. Jesus says about the Holy Spirit in the book of John that he will remind us and he will teach us everything that Jesus taught us. You know, and so in one context, because, you know, they were saying that he has a demon. Beelzebul is one of the names of the enemy. And the literal translation is the Lord of the Flies. You know, and so, which you know, I mean, I don't have time to go into now, but it really gives us a lot of really good insight on how to fight the enemy, right? And we'll talk about that another time. But in this context here, right, so these guys are telling him that you have a demon, you know, and Jesus obviously is refuting that. And then he goes to this point, right, that if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, yeah, all other sins are forgivable, right? And there is really not much else, you know, that's out there except for this particular one. that's one side, right? And so the Pharisees obviously committed this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You know, they call light darkness. Now, does this mean that any person that calls light darkness is guilty of this sin? I don't think so. When I was a youth pastor, a lot of my students were very, very afraid of this passage. And the way they translated it is that, you know, in their moment of weakness or in their moment of despair, you know, they cursed at God. And then they felt like, oh man, I blasphemed the Holy Spirit. This is it. That's not what it's saying either. Think about this. What is the only sin, right, ultimately that is unforgivable? When you really just put our heads together. You know, I know it's early in the morning, but I know you can still think this early, right? What sin is actually unforgivable, right? Especially keeping in line when we talk about the Holy Spirit here, right? I want to suggest to you that the sin is actually unbelief. You know, and so, you know, the Holy Spirit's work is to convict, right? The Holy Spirit's work is to draw us closer to the Lord, is to remind us of everything that Jesus taught us, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and then out of all that, if you ignore the advances of the Holy Spirit and the wooing of God and say, no, you know, that's not, you know, right? I suggest that's probably what Jesus is meaning in this passage. That's blasphemy of the Spirit. In other words, you really don't know, right? Because you can continue to resist and resist and resist, and you really won't know until you die, right? And then, in other words, that you've never really accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, right? You know, that's just one explanation, right? There's many different ones, right? But, you know, to me personally, that seems to fit a lot more clear with the whole counsel of the scriptures, you know, in the sense that, you know, because then look in this context. If it's an eternal sin, right, to call light darkness, you know, or to ascribe to God or ascribe to the works of God something that's demonic, right, then Paul should have never gotten saved, you know, because Paul himself, I mean, he killed Christians. Right, and so he was. I mean, if you're talking about someone that's called light darkness, you know, to the point where Jesus confronts him personally and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" You know, and so if that's so, we have to understand. Okay, there's some texts throughout the scriptures where God gives people second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever chances. Now, in that same context, let's say Paul on the road to Damascus, right? That, you know, the Lord brought him down, all these things, and he still resisted into the end. I think that's the picture that you're dealing with here, right? And so, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but you know, just giving us an idea of what it looks like. And again, there's many different views, you know. And so, you know, our, you know, kind of my training is that it doesn't really matter what view you have per se, as long as it's not part of the essential things, you know. But if you can back it up with the scriptures, right, then, you know, always open to discourse. Now, the writer here in this devotional, you know, talked about family. And this is kind of an interesting point, right? You know, and we've said it a few times here at church. You know, the blood of Jesus is thicker than your family blood, right? We see time and time again where Jesus makes this a case. You know, probably, you know, the most prominent is in John when he turns to his mother on the cross, right? And he says, you know, and turned to John the Beloved and his mother and says, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." And Jesus, being the eldest son, and he had, you know, four other brothers with him, he actually gives the charge to care for the mom through John the Beloved instead of his own brothers. You know, some scholars say there's a couple of different reasons. You know, one is particularly because his brothers were not yet believers yet. You know, but you know, James becomes a believer, right? In fact, he becomes the leader of the New Testament church. And so probably, you know, most scholars say it didn't happen at that time, so this could be one of the reasons why Jesus did that. You know, in essence, he wanted his mom to be in a home of faith, right? And so, you know, you can make a case for that. But, you know, outside of whatever reason that he did, I think he was portraying a kind of connection that we have, you know. And this doesn't mean that you love your families less, you know, but it means that we take to heart, right, the family of God. There's something quite special about it. You know, I was mentioning on Sunday that when we're in Singapore, you know, and we saw all of our friends, you know, that had moved over the last few years. And I tell you, man, the fellowship was so rich, you know. I mean, I really felt like a family, you know, even though, you know, many of them are many years removed. And, you know, just talking with them, and, you know, there was such a fellowship of the Spirit, you know, that was at work there. Right. And, you know, and I was thinking, you know, it was actually more exciting being with those guys, our ex peers, than I'm excited when I'm with my own family, you know. And I love my family, you know, but there was just something, you know, about catching up with our guys that have moved there, you know. And this is what Jesus is talking about, right? Our relationship, our bond as brothers and sisters runs so deep. Right, because we're covered in the blood of Christ, you know, and the Spirit makes us one, in a way that is almost indescribable, you know. But God has the ability to do this, and so in that sense, we should care for one another, you know. In particularly, right, Paul will continue to remind us that we are one body, you know. And so if one member suffers, we're all suffering. If one member is rejoicing, we're all rejoicing. There is an interconnectedness that we have, right, that goes beyond even our family lines. And it's good. You know, I'm glad this woman reminded us about that this morning. And so let's close our eyes today. Let's go before the Lord and let's just think about today in a real simple way. Is that are you cultivating relationship in the body? Are you treating with care the relationships that you have in the faith? And let's ask Holy Spirit to really lead us and guide us and speak life to and through us. Think about people that maybe you're having difficulty with in the body of Christ. And ask God to reconcile. Ask God to forgive. Ask grace to come. Let's pray as Monica leads us. pray together. Let's pray for the family of God. Let's pray for our relationship in the family of God. Let's pray that we're careful to cultivate love and unity. And we're careful to cultivate Jesus, right? And all the relationships around us. And let's just lift up right now. That heart and mind, let's pray for our community. Let's continue to lift up our members, families that are dealing with illnesses and cancer, for growth. Pray for ones that are going through chemo and radiotherapy. Let's just lift them up before the Lord. Pray for our members that need healing, but more importantly, they need to be saved. And let's pray that the Lord of the harvest would send workers to them and just speak life, that they would not resist the Holy Spirit, but really receive what God has in store. Let's pray for our other members and their families that are sick and others that are looking for work. And let's pray that God would just open doors for them. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China and let's pray for SP Beijing and let's pray for Pastor Sam and Chris and family and Mary. Let's ask that God will continue to move. There's 12 of them meeting together now, and let's just pray for just real favor with them, with the government, with everything, people that come along their way, that a lot of lives would be changed. Let's pray for the Chung family. Ask God to continue to use them. They're closing down their school, basically, and asking God for the next steps. And so let's ask God to really speak to them and really give them a real heart. John's been traveling all over the place very effectively, and so maybe that's where God may have them. But in any case, let's just really pray for God's word to go forth in their lives, that they follow His heart. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Let's pray for our protection. Let's pray that as they continue to go after the things of God and things of the Spirit, that the anointing would flow through their lives. Let's pray for the Basarabas, and especially as Janine is going through her radiotherapy and bouts of fatigue. And pray the kids would not worry, that they would really continue to draw near to God, Steve would be able to, you know, handle the balance of the family and work and all those things. Let's continue to lift up Leanne and just thank God for just a time of refreshing here in Hong Kong. Now let's pray that she would just be just moved in wisdom for the next steps and what she needs to do, where she needs to go, how she needs to minister. Let's just really pray for covering over her, and pray for the kids in Chichihar, pray for the government, Let's pray for real justice to flow through all the provinces, through all the regions, and let's lift up the churches and ask God to continue to breathe His wind upon them. And let's pray. Let's pray for our leaders at church. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God's hand to be with the leaders here. Let's pray for our board as well. And let's ask God to really use them in example and also in their words and in their decisions. Let's pray for the missions committee as well, that God really give them a vision for what He wants to do this year in missions. And, you know, and you know, the thought that I keep getting when I pray for the missions committee, you know, is that they would work and do and arrange and plan in such a way that you know, that God would be so proud of us as a church in our extension of touching people's lives. And so let's pray for the committees, all these leaders, that, you know, they would lead with grace and with anointing and wisdom. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our Indonesian ministry and the Korean church. Let's pray for Pastor Selamat and all the different ministries that are going on there, the different areas now that they're ministering in, as well as Meifu and here in Shenwan. Let's pray for the Korean church. Let's pray they would just continue to grow and just that God's hand would be upon them. And they're having a bit of a financial difficulty right now. Let's pray for God to really breathe life into this church. Let's lift up. Let's pray for the house churches that are meeting tonight. Let's pray for Lan Kwai Fong, Old Peak, Harborside, Seymour, and Star Street. Let's ask for God's hand to be with each of the leaders. And, you know, especially as we talk about prayer, right? That'll be a real heart to really seek the Lord in prayer. Let's just pray. Thank you. thank you this morning. We thank you for waking us up, God, and bringing us to this place of prayer. And I pray, God, as we invest our time, God, our energies, our resources, God, our thoughts, Lord, on you, that there would be incredible dividends, God, that flow through our lives. And not just for us, God, but for those around us, God. Lord, make us effective, Lord. Continue to draw us closer and closer to you, Father, that we may touch others around us, Lord. We're blessed to be a blessing. And so we thank you, Father. Watch over us the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great prayer time. We'll see you guys tomorrow.